So for this morning, shall we turn to Numbers chapter 6, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dry. All the days of the separation shall he eat nothing that is mixed of the vine tree from the kernels, even to the husk. All the days of the vow of separation there shall no razor come upon his head, until the days be fulfilled in which he separate himself unto the Lord. He shall be holy, and shall let the locks of the hair of his head grow. All the days that he separated himself unto the Lord, he shall come at no dead body. He shall not make himself unclean for his father or for his mother, for his brother or for his sister, when he die, because the consecration of his God is upon his head. All the days of separation he is holy unto the Lord. Verse 13, And this is the law of the Nazarite, when the days of his separation are fulfilled, he shall be brought unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall offer his offerings unto the Lord, one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, and one ewe lamb of the first year without blemish for a burnt sin offering, and one ram without blemish for a peace offering, and a basket of unleavened bread, cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, and wafers of unleavened bread anointed with oil, and the meat offering and the drink offerings. And the priest shall bring them before the Lord, and shall offer his sin offering, his burnt offering. He shall offer the ram for a sacrifice, peace offering unto the Lord, with a basket of unleavened bread. The priest shall offer also his meat offering and his drink offering. And the Nazarite shall shave the head of his separation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall take the hair of the head of his separation, and put it in a fire which is under the sacrifice of the peace offerings. The Lord will surely add his richest blessing to the public reading of his precious word. Now, I don't intend to expound on this passage, but just to get some ideas from here. Now, the first thing is that we know that a Nazarite is one who has taken a vow to be separated unto God. And normally, they would take it for about 30 days or 100 days. But there were three of them that were Nazarites for life, given in the Word of God. The first was, of course, Samson, and the third one was, of course, John the Baptist in the New Testament. The main thing that they have to do, as given here, roughly, is that to observe the vows, they would have no wine, no shaving of the hair, and no defilement by touching or coming in contact with the dead. It is on the basis of these three ideas that I'm going to speak on in the context of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. First is his life of pleasure in the will of the Lord, then his lowliness with patience in the work of the Lord, and his love and purity in the way of the Lord. Judges 9:13 and Psalm 104 tells us that. Why it tells us of the joy. The Lord Jesus Christ, unlike the other Nazarites, his separation to the Lord is not just outward, but actually his total life while here on earth. As he himself told the Jews in John chapter 10, that his Father has sanctified him. And he himself mentioned in his prayer, high priestly prayer to the Father, the fact that he has sanctified himself in John 17. Sanctified in the sense that being set apart to and for God and his things. the Lord Jesus Christ did then. After all, he said in Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. And that has characterized him throughout his life's sojourn on earth as one who was completely devoted to please the Father in all things, to please the Father at all times. And that's why he could say in John 8, 29, John 8, 28 and 29, he says, John 8, 28, he says, the last part, I do nothing of myself, that's on my own initiative, but as my Father had taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please the Father. So that has been the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. His joy was not in the things that the world can offer. His joy was to please the Father at all times. And certainly, and this is something that should challenge our hearts. If we really love the Lord, that our whole life should be such that we should be well-pleasing to the Lord and to rejoice only in Him. After all, the world is in the hand of the prince, in the hand of the evil one, as he is called the prince of the this world. The Lord Jesus Himself says that the prince of this world cometh, and he can find nothing in Him. So that is position of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the prince of this world have no sway over Him at all. In fact, because of the fact that his sole desire was to be well pleasing to the Lord and to rejoice in Him, that he would not had no ear for the devil, as clearly evidenced at the end of the 40 days of temptation. He has no ears for the evil one, whatever suggestions he offered to him. His whole life was given up to please the Father. So this is the Lord Jesus Christ as the true Nazarite. He has no joy in this world. He abstained from it altogether, but he rejoiced in the fact that he, in the Father, in pleasing the Father. Of course, his joy also found in the question of salvation of precious souls. But after all, he said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his desire. And that was something that really he could rejoice, as Luke 15 tells us, that wherever anyone comes to Christ or is saved, there's joy in the presence of the angels. Presence of angels that indicate that God himself rejoices in the salvation of precious souls. So Jesus Christ too, likewise, rejoiced in the salvation of precious souls. So there's this life to rejoice at his pleasure in the will of the Father. The second one, the question of his lowliness. Lowliness in with patience, lowly with patience in the work of the Lord. Now the question of the no long hair for a man speaks of the shame upon him, and indirectly indicates the question of humiliation or lowliness. Lowliness for a person to be a Nazarite with long hair, he has moved among the people as one who is altogether lowly. This is seen in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ says that in Matthew, he says that Matthew 10, that I'm meek and lowly in heart. Meek and lowly in heart. And certainly throughout his life journey, you can see how lowly the Lord Jesus Christ moved among the people. We have read about in Philippians 2 earlier on, during the worship, of the fact that he humbled himself as a man, and even to die on the cross of Calvary. It's given here in Matthew 12, mentioned about the fact that, quoting from Isaiah 42, he says in verse 19, he says, He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. He tells us of the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. He served his Father faithfully and fervently without any fuss. There's no question of him trying to make a scene of it. Of course, there are times when he had to deal with the Pharisees and the scribes for the way that for the hypocrisy that they displayed in their attitude towards their fellow citizens. But other than that, he worked among the people quietly. We can see it throughout the Gospels how he served the people. And every time when he, for instance, he healed the leper, he would tell the leper not to tell others about it, but to go to and see the priest. And when he healed those those possessed of demons, he told them just to tell others concerning what God had done for them. He never allowed himself to be publicized by others, but because of the fact that they have received mercies and blessings through his signs and miracles or signs, they normally publicize his work. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he came before his baptism by John the Baptist, John the Baptist was telling the people there in John Matthew chapter 3, he told his audience, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I am not worthy to bear." And in Mark 1, he mentioned Mark 1, verse 7, he says, "There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." This is John the Baptist himself, a Nazarite, said of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know, as given in John 13, the Lord Jesus Christ himself stooped down. He stooped down and unloosed the shoes of his disciples and wash those filthy feet on theirs. So though he himself, the Master, the Lord, he set an example for his disciples to do. He has already told them in Mark chapter 10 that greatness is not seen in exercising authority over people, but greatness is seen in service. Greatness is seen in service. There he was telling his disciples concerning the fact of servant leadership. For he says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So the Lord Jesus Christ was not only just teaching his disciples what to do and how to behave, but he himself set the example, as in the cleansing of the feet of his disciples. Not one of them was willing to do it, so he himself had to undertake that work. But of course, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ went further, as we are reminded in Philippians chapter 2, that he went all the way to Calvary Cross, and there he humbled himself even unto obedience, humbled himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death on the cross. There himself took our place and died in our stead. There he was made sin for us, he who knew no sin. There he paid the debts of our sin. He died as it were between two criminals on the cross of Calvary. He was placed there in the center and treated as one of them, as we have read in Isaiah 53. So we see the Lord Jesus Christ, how he served God among his people in such lowliness and with patience in teaching the disciples. We wouldn't have the time to go through it. How many times have been telling and teaching the disciples, and they really haven't learned anything until after his resurrection. So this is one thing that speaks to us too, for so often we have been listening to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, and so often we have not been hearing what God has to say to us, and so we have been doing the things that they are well pleasing to Him. So this is the thing that tells us that we need to bear in mind what the Lord Jesus Christ has done in setting the example for each one of us in the question of service of the, in His service as one who is altogether lowly and patient. And finally, we have the His love and purity in the way of the Lord. The Nazarite is not supposed to make himself unclean. The Nazarite is supposed to stay away so that he can keep his vow of consecration. But unlike the human, the other Nazarite, the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be defiled by anyone. As it's been obvious when he came to the, when the met with the leper, he touched the leper. Under normal circumstances, anyone who touched the leper will contract the leprosy. But in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, the leper was healed of his leprosy. So the Lord Jesus Christ cannot be defiled by anything. In fact, he cannot be defiled by death, as he had to deal with three persons: the daughter of Jairus, the son of the woman of Nain, and also Lazarus. Right? For the little daughter of Jairus, he held the hand of the dead girl and raised it up. In fact, as we read through the three incidents in other places, we can see very clearly, in the presence of Lord Jesus Christ, death fled. After all, he is the life giver. He's the one who gave life. And therefore, death cannot exist in his presence. And that's the reason why Jairus' daughter was raised, and the son of the woman of the widow of Nain was also raised up, and later on Lazarus was raised after he was buried for a few days. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in fact, could not die because of this fact. But because he loved you, he loved me, he was prepared to make himself unclean for us. Contrarily to the Nazarite vow, he was prepared to be made unclean for us. Right? He did so by becoming sin for us. The Lord Jesus Christ loved us so much that he was prepared to pay the price of our sin. He himself, who is altogether holy, who is altogether righteous, and the testimony is that he did no sin, he knew no sin, in him there was no sin, but he was made sin for us. Such was that love of the Lord Jesus Christ for us, that he was prepared to be such, in order that the sin question might be settled once for all. And in this respect, it's almost like, as we have read in Numbers chapter 6, when they have completed the period of the vow, at the end of the vow, they will offer a question of the sin offering, the trespass offering, and the peace offering, and the burnt offering. And we know that when the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself up at Calvary Cross, he offered himself up in the fourfold offerings as given in the four Gospels. Right? We see him as the trespass offering in Matthew, the sin offering in Mark, the peace offering in the Gospel of Luke, and also the burnt offering in the Gospel of John. And it's in John that the Lord Jesus Christ offered himself up as a sacrifice to the Father, holy for the Father, none for anyone else, but holy for the Father. And that was what Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, that ascended up to him as a sweet-smelling aroma. That's the one that touched the heart of the Father. It's true, the Lord Jesus Christ loved us, and he gave himself for us. But he loved his Father too, and was prepared to offer himself up as a complete and perfect sacrifice to the Father as a burnt offering. Such was the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for God the Father and for each one of us. Certainly this this picture of the Nazarite gives us something of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we trust that this very short, brief message will be an encouragement to us as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, of who He is and for what He has done for each one of us.